You can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We will continue our journey through the beloved physician, as Luke was referred to, his gospel. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 through 16, we will look at today. Luke 5:12. Please follow along. And it happened when he, Jesus of course, was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you and we praise you. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your word, the Holy Bible. Thank you that you've seen fit to put it in our hands, to make it an instrument, Father, and a vessel through which we can come to know you by the Holy Spirit. We can come to have faith in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Lord, I pray that you teach us this morning. Instruct us, feed us. Build us up in the faith and help us. And let your healing come in each of our lives and bodies. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The title of my message is The Will of God. Just kind of seemed to fit as I looked for one. And I think it's important that we see that in Christ and in his actions, in his words. I know if you've been around church for any length of time, and most of us have been much of our lives, some of us maybe not as long as others, but we've all heard about leprosy. We've all heard about how terrible it was, how it was in Christ's day. I will, as an aside, mention to you a book by a doctor, physician, slash scientist, who is a Christian, whose name is Paul Brand. He and the guy who wrote The Jesus I Never Knew, sir? That's the word. He and Philip Yancey wrote a book about Paul Brand's life and ministry, and specifically about his calling from God to find a cure for leprosy, which he moved to India, where there were abundant lepers. And to make a short thing of a long story, he did find the cure for leprosy. And that's why in particularly first world countries now, it is readily available if someone is diagnosed with leprosy. Also in the book, there's much more to the book and to the handiwork of God in our bodies and the revelation of God in Christ through our bodies that Paul Brand and Philip Yancey share. I'm glad you read it so you could help me remember his name. Excellent, excellent book. I encourage you to get it and read it. But that hadn't taken place by this time. Leprosy was around in Moses' day, when Moses wrote under the inspiration of God the laws of Leviticus, the book of Leviticus. He included clear laws about leprosy, about the results and what must take place if someone is diagnosed with leprosy, and the extensive separation and isolation that must take place, and where they must remain until they die, and how they must warn people to stay at a distance. And then also in Leviticus, there is the possibility of healing, and Moses speaks and gives direct, clear instructions on what a person who recovers from leprosy must do to be restored to their family and their life and their job and society. Leprosy is called Hansen's disease nowadays. J. Vernon McGee, some of you might recognize that name. He was a radio preacher forever, I think. A really good one. He kind of painted a picture of what this might have looked like in this man's life coming to the place we find him by sort of telling what would have happened. He paints this picture. He says, we're not told how the man discovered that he had leprosy, but it could have happened in the following manner. One day he came in from plowing and said to his wife, I have a little sore on the palm of my hand. It bothers me when I'm plowing. Could you put some medicine on it and wrap it for me? His wife bandaged his hand, but the next day the sore was worse. In a few days they both became alarmed. His wife said, you should go to the priest. He went to the priest, who put him in isolation for 14 days. When he was brought out, the priest looked him over and found the leprosy had spread. The priest told him he was a leper. The heartbroken man said to the priest, let me go to my wife and children and tell them goodbye. The priest replied, you cannot tell them goodbye. You will never be able to take your lovely wife in your arms again. You will never be able to put your arms around those precious children of yours. The man went off alone. His family brought his food to a certain place and then withdrew when he came to get it. In the distance, he could see his wife and observe his children growing day by day. And he goes on in the story to tell of how finally he wouldn't watch them and he wouldn't see them because the pain was too great to suffer that separation. And that's where this man would have been. Whether it happened just like that or not, of course, we don't know. But he is suffering from a disease that in that day and for hundreds of years later, nearly 2,000 years later, there was no cure. It was a hopeless, terminal situation for most everyone who experienced it. Luke tells us, now you can read the account of this in Matthew and in Mark. Both of them give an account of this same event. And it gives a few other details depending on how they saw it and what they recalled. But Luke, the physician, uses the term. The other two don't. He says, a man who was full of leprosy. He gives this doctor's description, this physician's description, that this man is in the advanced stages. He is full of leprosy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. If you've ever looked at any pictures of the advanced stages of leprosy, the person is missing digits from their hand, from their feet, and their nose may be gone. I don't have to go on and paint the picture. You all have heard, I'm sure, plenty of times the extent of the horribleness of this disease. But somewhere, somehow, you remember Jesus has already healed a lot of people. We've talked about that. We talked about the outside of the door of Peter's home where his mother-in-law had been sick, and all the community gathers, remember, and Jesus healed everyone that night who came to him and was infirm or sick, and word gets around, and that's what we're told has taken place, and somehow it had gotten to the leprosy community where lepers had come to live together as only they could. And somehow in his heart, faith had been birthed. And he heard that Jesus was in this city. We're not told what city. This takes place apparently right after the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus came down from the mount. There's a particular city there that most commentators believe it took place in that city. But this man's not supposed to be in the city. If he is... if he is in a place where the wind can blow by him and upon other people, he's supposed to remain 50 yards from them. If he's downwind from them, in other words, where it can't blow back towards the people, that he could come within 6 feet. But that was it. And he had to scream, "Unclean, unclean." They were commanded by Moses' law that their hair would remain disheveled. In other words, it was to point out who their condition. Their hair would be disheveled. They would have to wear a face mask. Doesn't that sound familiar? They had to wear a thing from their upper lip down. And they would have to have their clothes torn and shredded, all as a sign that they had leper, so no one might mistakenly come in contact with them. And in that condition, in that shape, this man makes his way to some place in this city where Jesus is and where he can get close enough. And despite all the risk that it was, because they were often, if they got too close, hit with rocks and beaten and rejected and driven away. At the risk of all of that, he comes close enough to Jesus and he falls down on his face and he begs him. He implores him. And I think included in that statement, in that word, because of what he says, it's not just like a impersonal panhandling. In other words, it's not just a hoping, you know, with your hand out hoping, you know, please give, like we see people with signs and stuff, where it's, there's no faith to it, there's no expectation, there's just a maybe so. Because he begs Christ, he implores Christ, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." What a confession of faith. What a description. What a cry from his heart full of faith. If you're willing, you can make me clean. That's the place to start. Whatever need we have, whether we're lost and dying in sin, whether we're sick, whether we have a disease, whether we're broken, whether we're impoverished, whatever the case may be, that's the place to start, is the cry of our heart in absolute assurance that whatever it is we need, He can do it. That's what faith is about. And that's why I believe we're given this picture in the Scripture. There was no worse thing that could happen to you in Christ's time, in this context, than to suffer from leprosy. And not only was he suffering from it, he had been suffering for quite some time and was at the advanced, near-end stages of this disease. And the sad thing is that in their religious context, there was the belief, and automatically everyone was just certain that there must have been some horrible sin in his life, some horrible thing that he was guilty of, and God knew about it, and that's why he got it. That's the cloud they lived under. It certainly wasn't scriptural, it certainly wasn't biblical, and it certainly wasn't in the mind of Christ. But that's where he was. He was suffering. Lord, if you are willing. Now that's what he didn't know. That's what he wasn't sure of. He recognized in the sovereignty of God, God makes his choices what, when, where, and how. But he was absolutely convinced that if it was the will of the Father, if Jesus was willing, he absolutely had the power to heal him. Now that should encourage our faith. Because this man is coming, and more than likely he was missing some of his fingers, some of his toes. He could have been missing an ear or part of his nose. He could have had gaping sores. He wasn't just saying, well, I've got a cold. If you could make me feel better, that'd be nice. He was coming in absolute faith, in assurance that Jesus could do what he was asking him to do. Sometimes it's not always easy to get a straight answer. Now, ladies, don't be mad at me. I read one the other day that I've just got to share here. Someone said, the first woman in space, this is what it'd be like. She'd say, Houston, we have a problem. What is it? Never mind. What's the problem? Nothing. Please tell us what's the matter. I'm fine. Some of y'all are getting that and some of you aren't. If you've been married very long, you get that, don't you? Of course, the guys ain't going to say a word. Anyway, hard to get a straight answer sometimes, I suppose. But it wasn't with Jesus. This man confessed his faith with his face to the ground on his knees. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him. Jesus became unclean ceremonially. Jesus, despite what the law had said, despite tradition, despite social norms, Jesus, I suppose maybe we're not told, but maybe he even knelt down to his level. And he put his hand on him. This man had not been touched, maybe except by another leper, since the day he was diagnosed and expelled, isolated from everyone else, including his family. Jesus touched him. You know, that's what a lot of people need. It's just to be touched in Jesus' name. The compassion of a touch. Jesus touched him, saying, as he touches him, he says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Now, I said that I titled the sermon, The Will of God. And I think as we read the scripture, you know, we talked about this a week or two ago about healing. When we were looking at that passage where Jesus healed so many people outside of Simon's house that evening. I don't understand why everybody's not healed. I don't know why in the sovereignty of God he doesn't choose to heal every single person all the time everywhere. But I am not going to build my life or my belief system on what I don't understand. I'm going to build it on what I do understand, what I do see in the Scripture. And the Scripture clearly shows that the norm is for God to heal, and that it is the exception when he doesn't, not the norm. And that's the way we can pray. Now, needless to say, it's clear in Scripture that God takes his time sometimes. Sometimes there is a process to go through. Sometimes it takes time. Carl and I were talking yesterday, you know, about things on the job where he used to work and the way things worked out with people. But they didn't work out instantly. But you ask him now and he will certainly tell you God was at work. But it didn't happen overnight. It was a process. But like we talked about the other day when we were talking about healing, everything, all the healing that's taking place, real healing that's taking place in this world, even in our country, began through the ministry, through the gospel, through the church, through the heart of God and the will of God working in people's hearts and lives. And that's why they became doctors. That's why they became scientists to find out medicine. That's why do you think there are, why do we think that there are so many plants out there that have use and value in healing? Because it's the heart of God. Suffering and sickness and disease didn't come about because God chose to do it. It came about because of the result of darkness and the curse, and that came about because of our sin. Adam and Eve sinned. And we affirmed their decision to sin when we came along because every one of us chose to make the same decision. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I just want to encourage us in our faith to believe that He's willing. Not just that He can, but to believe that He can. A lot of us don't even think about it, that He can or that He's willing. We just automatically go to the doctor. But I'd encourage us in faith to believe. To believe that He can and pray that He will. However He chooses. I think quite possibly we might start seeing some of those miraculous instantaneous healings. I shared my testimony about the healing of my wrist that last time we talked about this a few weeks ago. But we've seen and experienced other healings. But at the same time, we've also gone through the process of healing. And at other times, there's things that aren't healed. Before I got that ear infection that was such a deal last week, up here, I lost 70% of the hearing in my right ear in an accident in the 9th grade. It's been that way ever since. Now, I did have a surgery 10 years ago or so that helped a little bit, but that didn't last a long time. Why is that still that way? I don't know why that's not been fixed or healed. I just let God be God, but I'm still going to believe that Jesus is the expression of the heart of God and the will of God. And if you look at Jesus, you see compassion. You see healing touches. You see open arms. You see a loving heart. That's who Jesus is, and that's what He does for this man. I'm willing. And He touches this man and heals him. He's cleansed. And that term for cleansing there doesn't just mean the disease is arrested. It means he's made complete. Wow. He becomes a whole, healed, well man again. A man who was hopeless now not only has hope, but he has a life. That's what we have to offer with the gospel. Now, a lot of times you hear preachers take stories like this and they spiritualize them and they make it all equal with sin and with being lost and with Jesus touching. And that's okay. It really is the truth. Whatever your condition is, whatever your need is, whatever mine is, whatever the need and condition of anyone around us, it couldn't get any worse than this man's position in life and his existence. And Jesus met him there. And whoever we are and whoever is around us, wherever they are, whatever condition they're in, there's hope because there's Jesus. There's a sign down the road from our house. One of the churches, you know, put up signs for several weeks now. They've got a sign. It says, "Hope has a name. Jesus." Jesus. Immediately, the leprosy left him. He was cleansed. He was made whole. The door was open for him to be restored, not just to his family and friends and occupation, but to the church, to the synagogue, to the temple, to relationship in the church, in worship before God. And then Jesus charged him, "Go and show yourself to the priest. Make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded." Just as Moses commanded. You see, Jesus is thinking beyond. Now, first and foremost, he thought of this man here, above everything else. He related to this man who came to him in faith, and he healed him. And then he thinks further, because he is thinking of saving every individual and everyone that he can. So he tells him, don't tell anybody, just go to the temple and follow the Mosaic law on how you go about getting restored and getting a clear bill of health, you might say it, so you can go back to your family and your job and your home and your neighborhood. Just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. You see, his intention is twofold, I think. It's to give a testimony to the religious leaders. And not just a testimony that he's able to heal, that he is the Messiah, that he has power and authority on earth, but also to communicate to them that he is the fulfillment of the law. He is not against the law. He shows this, has this man do this to testify even to them that he came to fulfill the law. He is not against it. He is not rejecting or doing away with the law of Moses. He is fulfilling it. Well, when you read the other two gospel accounts, he couldn't help himself. He went out. Now, I don't have any doubt that he went and did what he was supposed to do, like Jesus said, in the temple or with the priest. But he also couldn't help but tell other people. Of course, it didn't take much telling once they recognized who he was. All they had to do was see him. So the resulting response was, word got out. And a crowd came. Great multitudes came together to hear. You see, they came to hear. The most important thing anyone needs first is to hear. To hear the good news, to hear the gospel, to hear of the love of God in Christ that would die for them and their sin in their place, and then offer to them the free gift of eternal life, belonging in the family of God forever. They came to hear and to be healed by Him of their infirmities. Christ is our healer. And as I said, I can't explain all of it. I don't understand why some are and some aren't. But I'm going to pray and I'm going to believe. And I'm going to look for Jesus to heal, to help us. And I know for certain He will save everyone who comes to Him in the darkness, in the suffering, in the plight of sin and the disease of selfishness and the curse that came through sin. Everyone in that condition who comes to Jesus in faith, He will save. And they will be healed. They will be healed one day, as you and I will be, completely. Because our sins are forgiven, we are assured a new heaven, a new earth, and a new body. No sickness, no suffering. And then verse 16 says, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He gives us the rhythm of the Christian life. The only way we can serve God like Jesus did is to do it the way Jesus did it. And Jesus understood that it's not all just about service, but it's about relationship with the Father. Jesus did amazing stuff. He's done amazing stuff. He's doing amazing stuff now. He has in my life. He has in your life. He is all over the world right now. But beyond that amazing stuff, there's time to be alone with the Father. There must be the time that we withdraw, even daily, that we spend time with God. You'll burn out or rust out if you try to do the stuff without the rhythm of that retreat, of being with Him. Even if it's just 10 or 15 minutes. Whenever it best works in your life, but be with the Father. Follow Christ's example. I believe He wants to use us to bring His compassion, the will of God, healing, the gospel, salvation, help, deliverance, freedom to people around us. But it flows out of, it's the overflow of our relationship with God. And what He's doing in us, in you and in me personally, to make us like Jesus. Of course, in order to do that, you've got to start out with Him. You have to come to Christ first. And I pray that everyone here has. And I pray that we'll be faithful witnesses like Christ who go about making sure that we give testimony to what He's done. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for this story in Christ's life and ministry. Thank You for this man, Father, that was so far gone in this disease. And yet You birthed faith in his heart. There's no one beyond the reach of Your grace. Just like in this man, by Your grace, You birthed faith. And through that faith, he came to Christ and found just what he needed. Father, we come to You. We seek You. We pray that our faith will grow and that we'll be faithful vessels of Your power and Your authority and Your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.